Hi, this is Mike Clark with Christmas Music 24/7, and this evening I'm talking with Mark Altroge from the Sovereign Grace Ministries. They released a worship Christmas album called Savior, celebrating the mystery of God become man. Thank you for talking with me, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
I was looking, and you guys have a great website at saviorcd.com. Tells you all about the CD. It's got a couple interviews, so I'm not going to repeat that information. So I encourage people to go to Savior CD. You can hear some of the music. You can download lyrics. Pretty nice little website there.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Why did you all want to do a worship Christmas CD as opposed to just a Christmas CD?
Sovereign Grace is actually a family of churches, and we write, attempt to write songs that are used in the churches for worship. And so every album we've done, we've tried to have some particular theme or focus for the album that we would write songs that could be used in worship. We did a children's album, but they were primarily worship songs for children 7 and up. Did another album not too long ago based on a Puritan prayer book called The Valley of Vision, but really taking those prayers and making them worship. So we wanted to do a Christmas album, but wanted to make it usable for churches in worship. So we kind of had a dual goal to try to capture some of the themes of Christmas, primarily the incarnation, but make the songs usable for churches in worship.
So what makes a worship Christmas album so important?
I think that a lot of songs, a lot of Christmas songs, at least some of the ones that we've sung in church, although they're very cheerful and happy songs, sometimes I personally don't understand the lyrics all the time, or I don't see how they don't really stir me to worship. Like, for example, O Come Emmanuel, it's a beautiful song, and it's more of a plea, O come and ransom captive Israel. I can understand that, but as far as declaring something glorious about God and something wonderful about God, you know, it falls a little short. And even such a well-known song as Joy to the World, the lyrics are a little bit obscure to me, like no more shall thorns infest the ground. I mean, is it, you know, it's not so much talking about Jesus's birth as it might be talking about his second coming or something like that. So I have a hard time worshiping to the song Joy to the World. And there's other songs too, you know, Away in a Manger and songs like that maybe tell the story, but they don't lend themselves to singing to God and rejoicing in what he's done. So those are the kind of things we wanted to do. We asked ourselves, what is it about the incarnation, about God becoming man, that is so amazing and evokes worship in us? And so some of the themes that we tried to touch on were just the incredible miracle, first of all, of the infinite God taking on human flesh and being subject to human weakness. And that just is astounding when you think about it. And he did that to rescue us who were slaves of sin. He entered into our fallen world, suffered, was tortured, nailed to a cross, shed his blood to pay for the sins of everyone who would call upon him. And that's just astounding. And that all began the first Christmas, the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to put those kinds of truths into a format where we could say, Lord, we worship you for doing this. We are in awe of you. We sing your praises and rejoice in you. And so that's what we were attempting to do with this album.
Mm-hmm. Are you primarily a musician or are you primarily a pastor?
I am first and foremost a pastor. That is the greatest joy I could possibly have. But I also have had an interest in music and songwriting since I was 14, ever since I first saw the Beatles. I wasn't saved at the time. I wasn't a Christian at the time. But when I first got interested in music was essentially when the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. And then I really started loving music and got myself a guitar and determined that I was going to be like the Beatles, with girls chasing me down the street up in front of millions.
Yeah.
And so I had a band. I was in a band in high school and college and after college, various rock bands. So I wrote songs for those bands. And so I've always loved music and songwriting. I have a strong interest in that, but I'm first and foremost a pastor.
Where is your church located?
It's in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is 60 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. I just have to say we were the first Indiana, and the state stole the name from us because we are east of the state, so obviously they were migrating westward, took our name.
Right. For the Savior CD, when did you have to start working on that? How does that process work? Is it different being in a church setting versus a secular setting?
Well, I don't know exactly how they would go about preparing for a secular album, but I know that probably maybe a year or 9 months before the album came out, we began talking about it, and we sent out a notice to all of the Sovereign Grace churches, the family of churches. There's about 70 of them or so, and to all the songwriters that we were aware of and various worship leaders, and we told them what we wanted to do, had them start writing songs for the project, and then submit them. And so after giving them a few months to work on songs, then we gathered up all that we had, and we picked the ones that seemed to have the most potential and had a songwriter's retreat with about 20 or 25 songwriters. And then we worked on those songs that they had submitted probably for a three-day period, pretty much morning to night. It was pretty cool. Different people, you know, they'd go off in a corner and they'd collaborate with somebody else, or they'd play their songs for the group and there'd be kind of some feedback, and then they'd go back into another room and work on them. And so then after that, we had a number of songs, maybe got down to 20 songs or so, and then we began talking with a producer and a team of us who were heading up the song selection. And after that, we put together a CD of about the top 16 and sent them out for to a broad kind of grouping of people, some musical, some non-musical, and just had them vote on the songs they liked and kind of went from there,
right,
narrowed it down.
Yeah, I see that you wrote a bunch of the songs on there, and your son Stephen wrote several. Did you work with your son on the songs, or was it independent?
Well, I worked with him a little bit. He came up with the ideas, and then lots of times when he comes up with an idea, or often when I do too, we'll play our song for each other and just kind of get that initial feedback and response. And so he probably had played them for me personally, and then he brought them and played his songs for the group, and I know that the group at the retreat gave him some feedback on them. Yeah, we have plenty of interaction here. Oftentimes I'll play. I know that the song that I wrote called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, when I first played it for Stephen, it was kind of after the retreat, I think, and he listened to it and he just didn't really respond. And so I could say, I said, all right, I could tell you don't like it. And he said, well, he was being kind.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to hear it a couple more times. And I just said, well, no, if you don't really like it first time, if something doesn't grab you, then I need to rework it. So I can remember I totally reworked it even after that. Those kind of things happen.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, one of the songs that my church sang in our worship service a couple weeks ago.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, we sang that one, and I think it was Glory Be to God were the two we did.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Do you think it's easier to write songs for Christmas or for Easter?
Ooh. I don't know that I would particularly find it easier to write songs for either one.
Yeah.
I don't find songwriting to be real easy.
Oh yeah.
Myself,
mm-hmm.
Occasionally an easy one will happen, but it's. I would say. I think maybe Christmas might be a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think we need songs about the resurrection. I don't
right.
think we don't have enough.
Yeah, with Christmas, you've got the 30 or 40 songs that everybody knows, so you're competing.
Mm-hmm.
But for Easter, there's only a handful of songs that people really think of as Easter songs.
Yeah, that's true. There are lots of songs, and we've tried to write a lot of songs about the cross,
mm-hmm.
Which certainly you can use on Easter, but ones that are maybe more specifically about the resurrection are a little harder to find.
Do you have a favorite song or songs off the CD?
Oh, gosh, I like a number of them for different reasons. I really like my son Stephen's song, Hope Has Come. I like that because it's a fast song. It's very cheerful. It's very fun to sing, and it's very just joyful and celebratory. So I really like that one. An unusual way, I really like the song Sleep, Jesus, Sleep, the last song on the album, because it just really... It's not so much a song, that would be one of them that would not be so much a worship song, but it really just captures the contrast between God being almighty and having no needs at all, and then becoming this little baby that needs to sleep and totally helpless in his human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I like Bob Coughlin's song, Glory Be to God. It's just taking an old hymn and redoing it. I like almost every song on the album a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very powerful album. I'm very glad it came out.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. One other thing I like about the album is the way the producer, Sal Oliveri, produced it. I think he just did a super job. I mean, we were hoping for an album that could be used at Christmas time, but also would be able to be used and listened to all year round. And so one of Sal's challenges was to have some kinds of Christmas sounds in it,
mm-hmm.
and yet not make it just so Christmassy that no one would listen to it in July.
Right.
And I just think he did a great job of including that kind of a feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, for the most part, very organic sounding, which I really like.
I have a list of questions called the 12 Questions of Christmas. I just want you to give the first response that comes to your mind. Don't think about it too hard. Christmas tree, real or artificial?
Real.
Do you put the tree up before or after Thanksgiving?
After.
Do you open gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
Christmas Eve. Always have since I was a child.
Do you prefer instrumental or vocal music?
Oh, wow. I like jazz a lot. I like Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. I like a lot of instrumental music, but I also like vocal. If I was on a desert island, apart from worship music, I would pick instrumental music.
How about traditional or contemporary music?
Probably contemporary.
Okay. What goes on top of the tree, a star or an angel?
A teddy bear. Our tree has a teddy bear on top.
Oh, yeah? What's the story behind the teddy bear?
I really have no idea. Somebody gave it to us, or we got it when our kids were little, and it's just always gone on top. So I guess I would say, other than that, a star.
Do you prefer Rudolph or Frosty?
Rudolph. He was much more helpful.
Fudge or fruitcake?
Oh, fudge.
Classical music or jazz?
Jazz.
Do you take the Christmas tree down before, on, or after New Year's?
Probably about the day after.
The night before Christmas or Luke chapter 2?
Luke chapter 2.
And M&M's, plain or peanut?
Plain, definitely.
Okay, that's the 12 questions of Christmas.
Those are great.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Well, I hope you have a great Christmas.
Thank you. I hope you do too.